Hi, everybody. For anyone over in the bar area lubricating themselves, please come join us. My name is Ashley Docking, and I'd like to officially welcome you to Pitch Talks this evening, you guys. Thank you. First of all, can we just take a second to appreciate this amazing location that we have here at the Sport Gallery? And that is not a sponsored plug. It just looks really good. You guys on the bleachers really giving us the baseball vibe. I love it a lot. How many people here have been to a Pitch Talks before? Oh, good. Wow, most of you. Who's new? Let me see you. Hello. Hello. Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So this is an event where we really, really like to get some interaction. I see you guys are a little bit timid, a bit of a quiet bunch. We don't want any of that. So if you need to go to the bar and get another drink to really find yourself, we encourage that fully. Today we have some really special guests. We have Jamie Campbell, who's going to join us a little bit later. Yeah. Oh, Jamie. We have a baseball historian, John Thorne, who's going to join us also right there. Hi, John. And more importantly, Ben Nicholson-Smith. No offense to you two gentlemen, but in this case, I don't want to say we saved the best for last because Ben in himself is an amazing journalist from Sportsnet. Hello, sir. Journalist, writer, podcast, hoster.
Hello.
At the Numbers with Art Enright. I feel like we're so far away.
I know. Is this working? Can you guys hear me? Not really working. Yeah. Okay. There we go. All right. Hey.
Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
Good. Good, good. Ready to talk some baseball.
How are you feeling about the Blue Jays season? Maybe we'll just start there. I mean, it's kind of a broad question. I feel like it's like a complex relationship. It's probably taken you through a mix of emotions so far this season. Wanted to break up with them maybe at one point.
Sure, yeah, 2-11, not a good start.
Something sounds weird. Let's just switch.
This one a little better.
I know.
This might be.
This just
loud.
Looks more official.
Okay, how's that? That's a little. That's loud, right?
I think that's.
Okay, I'll hold it at a distance. Yeah. So the Jays. So they are. Yeah, they're just a weird team. Like, they started so badly, and so...
Horribly.
Yeah.
Terrible.
It's just, they've been a hard team to make sense of. I think that it's now getting to the point in the year that you have to start winning some baseball games, and it's June 8th, 9th, 10th, something
8th.
Like that, and they still have never been above 500, so they got a lot of work to do, even though they've made some real gains.
And even though they're not above 500, they're not completely... out of the mix. With the start that they had, you would think that things would be a lot worse now. 6 games back, 3.5 out of the wild card. Some work to do, however.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about that. They have a lot of work to do. I think that when you look at this club, they're pretty good. I think this is a pretty good team. At this point, you look at a lineup that has Josh Donaldson, and all of a sudden this lineup, you're like, okay, they can win some games. At the same time, the bullpen's been used really heavily, and you look at a rotation that has a lot of questions in it, and so it's tough. You got to climb over a bunch of teams. I think that it's going to still be an uphill type of battle for this club, but they're in a much better position now than they would have been a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago.
Let's take a quick audience poll of the level of hopefulness. Can I get a round of applause from people who think the Blue Jays will be in the playoffs this year? Okay, it wasn't as many people as it sounded like. That man back there just claps really loud. Okay, well, let's start with some good news then, okay? Let's get into this a little bit. Good news, bad news. Let's talk about Aaron Sanchez returning, because by all accounts, he's doing better. He had that blister on his right middle finger. He had to get his nail cut off. The blister came back. He was throwing a towel the other day. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that, because for someone like myself, I was like, I'm sure this has... large implications. It's super important. It looks ridiculous.
Yeah, the kind of broader implications, if you think of it too much, then throwing the towel seems like a bad idea. But Sanchez, I think, is on his way back, and so that's a good thing for this team. Clearly, who knows what happens to the rotation when he's back, but I think at the very least you have one more big league arm. I mean, whether it's Liriano, whether it's a guy like Joe Biagini who goes back to that bullpen role, they need those innings in the bullpen. They need those innings in the rotation too. So I think that if they can get him back before the All-Star break, I honestly think that would be a good thing for this team. And it sounds like a pretty low standard to set when you think about the guy who was such a good pitcher last year to get him back by the All-Star break. But just the way things are going and how serious that blister issue seems to be, I think that's kind of where we're at.
In terms of cautiousness, I know they want to be as careful as possible with him because they don't want it to be recurring again because he's been put on the DL multiple occasions. What are the chances that this is something that sticks around even though he's fine? He's fully healed, but just his mechanics, the way the ball comes off his finger, it's going to be something that plagues him for a lot longer than anyone anticipated.
I mean, that's definitely the concern. I think that his mechanics thing should be fine once he's able to throw it and release it right off that fingertip without feeling any ill effects. But to me, the question is, does it come back? So does the blister come back to the point that when he's releasing it, he's feeling that same friction on his fingertip and he can't actually release the ball and get that spin on it that he's used to getting? So, you know, as much as I'm sure the Jays would love to say that it'll be done at this point, I don't think you can say that at all, because you've seen guys like Rich Hill or Taijuan Walker or whoever it is around baseball. There's so many guys dealing with blister issues, and a lot of the time they come back.
It's something so pesky. You're glad that it's not a serious issue. You're glad that he doesn't need Tommy John or something like that, but then it's just like that marble and that rock in your shoe. It's like, God, it's causing so much problems.
For sure. And I think anyone in this room is obviously a serious enough baseball fan where they realize that this is a real thing. But I think sometimes to the casual fan, you hear a blister and you're like, oh my God, why can't he tough it out? Like, he's really got to go out there.
Canadians being like, well, hockey players would fight through that.
Right. And I'm sure Sanchez would fight through it too if it was that simple. But it's not a matter of pain tolerance.
You talked about a bit of stress on the bullpen, probably a little bit more. John Gibbons basically said they're running on fumes.
Yeah.
They are. They're a lot has been asked of them. They've been put in some really tough jams. We kind of saw that all accumulate when Grilly gave up 4 home runs in one inning. The first time a Blue Jays reliever has done that. Brett Cecil did it in one inning, but he was a starter. So I don't know if that's better or worse, but 4 home runs is quite a lot. We can talk about him also and what you think is going on with Grilly and maybe if he's going to be a Jay for that much longer, but talk a little bit about the bullpen first and why they're so stressed.
I think the reason why is just you look at the short outings that they've had from guys like Casey Lawrence or Matt Latos or even Sanchez when he's dealing with these blister issues. And then you end up having to go to the bullpen super early. So that's where Tapera throws 3 1/3 innings in one game. It's where Danny Barnes, every time I check a box score, Danny Barnes has got another 2 innings. It seems like every single day. And that's fine for now. It's worked out really well. And the results they've gotten from Smith and Tapera and Barnes have been phenomenal. But there's going to come a point where those guys have just been used too much. And I just don't think that you can go through an entire season where you use Joe Smith 80 or 90 times and get away with it, realistically. And the same for Tapera. I mean, you can't expect Ryan Tapera to throw 95 innings for you. I think it would be pretty cool if he
Well,
if
you
he
can.
Did.
It might not be work out well.
Right. And yeah, exactly. It's, or you know, and maybe you could. I mean, certainly there have been points in baseball history where that was asked of relievers all the time. It's not the way it works now. So that would be a departure from the norm for the Jays to do that. And, yeah, they're going to need to find guys other than Asuna, Smith, Tapera, and Barnes to get outs in that bullpen. And Loop. I'll give Loop some credit. He's been pretty good.
Just a little credit, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Probably Loop deserves credit, I would think.
Were you surprised that Grilly had that huge meltdown?
Yes.
Because yeah. He had gone, I think it was 8 of 9 or 9 of 10 games scoreless up until that point. He was throwing, the gun was hitting 94 at points. Even his coach was like, wow. I kind of saw it. I chuckled. I was like, okay, he still got it. And then just a meltdown like that. I don't know if you've had a chance to speak with him. I know he didn't talk to the media after that game, but since then, what's his confidence level at?
Hard to tell. He I asked to speak to him, so that was Saturday, right? Yeah. I think that he allowed the four runs. I asked to talk to him Sunday. He didn't want to talk. All right, it's fine. So I don't know where his confidence is at. I could make a guess. I would guess it's not at an all-time high. But that's speculation. What we can say concretely is that he's not getting enough outs and he's allowing way too many home runs. I mean, you look at not just this year, because, you know, I try to broaden the lens a little bit. You look beyond what's happening in 2017, and obviously the results this year have been rough. But even if you look back at his tenure with the Blue Jays, good times, bad times, everything, and the ERA in Toronto was 4.98. So it's not good. It's not good for any pitcher. It's especially not good for a relief pitcher, because relief pitchers tend to do better. They pitch shorter stints. They have advantages that starters don't. Yeah, I don't think really he's very good at this point. And so...
Wow.
I mean, it's just hard. Right there. Right. It's hard. I mean, I'm hardly going out on
a limb.
He has
a case of the 40s?
Sure, yeah. And I mean, relative... and it's impressive. He's a major league pitcher. He's out there taking the mound. But realistically, if you're throwing 94, it's not that fast in today's day and age. And if you have a slider that doesn't break all that much, which has been the case on his worst days, then you're going to have trouble getting hitters out. So it's not to say that he can't recover. We've seen him do it before. But right now, he's not very effective.
What's your take on the narrative that the organization continues to give him chances and keep him around because he seems like such a good guy? Do you know what I mean? He's. I know that fan favorite is something that's said a lot, and I know that it's not something that franchises really care about. When Jose Bautista was going to leave, I believe it was for Baltimore, like, they don't want him there because the fans don't like him. No, they want a good baseball player.
Yeah.
So he's a good guy. He has a bunch of promotions, that grilled cheese promotion at Rogers Center, I believe. Do you know what I mean? He plays the game on the PR level. And how many chances do you think that has afforded him?
Yeah, and I think that would play in. I think also he's a veteran of this game, and so that buys him chances too, in the sense that he's been a major league player for, I don't know how many years, let's say 16, 17 years, something like that. That's going to earn him leeway that you don't get if you're a Dominic Leone or if you're a Matt Dermody. So I think that he's earned that, and I'm, you know, I think that it's not to say they should go out and release him tomorrow, but yeah, I just...
TikTok?
Well, I don't know. It's a results-based game, right? You got to get the guys out there who are going to help you win ball games.
Like Devin Travis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tough break for him, huh?
Yeah, very.
I mean, he was playing really well. He was involved in a pretty hefty hit streak at one point, and then I believe it was against New York, he took a ball to the hand during an at bat. The MRI came back clean. And everyone's like, great, good news. He's been producing. He's been helping us on offense. And then I believe it was on a flight to Oakland, his knee locked up. Doesn't really know when it happened, thinks he does, but now he's out. He's gone. Bone bruise with cartilage damage.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, when I saw the note from the Blue Jays that Travis is on the DL, you know, you instantly assume it's because of the hand. You know, he's got a bruised hand or something along those lines. Then you see it has to do with the knee issue that he battled all of, well, I shouldn't say all of last year, but he battled toward the end of last year. Then all of a sudden, it's a big surprise. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, it's a recurring injury for Travis. The knee is so tough because you need it as a hitter. You need it as a fielder in his case. You need it as a base runner. So it's going to impact every single element of his game. And, you know, obviously, I haven't been with the team, so I don't know exactly, but as far as anything that I've read or seen or heard, it doesn't seem like there's a clear timeline on when he would come back.
Yeah. It was the hardest thing for me was watching him when he broke down to the media. And you guys have probably seen hundreds or thousands of clips of athletes talking, and I can tell you from being in scrums and Jamie and Ben can probably attest to the same thing. They usually keep their cards pretty close to their chest. They don't really give you much in terms of staccato, just typical answers. So when you see an athlete do that, to me, that means that he is just crushed, dying inside. Anything you can think of, it's something that is surprising in most cases.
Very, yeah. And I think that it tells you something about where Travis is
expectations are. I mean, if he was expecting to be back in 3-4 days, he's probably not having that reaction. And the same goes for John Gibbons. I mean, we're all used to hearing anytime someone goes on the DL, it's, oh, we think he's going to be back in 10 days from now. And, you know, almost every single time, that's what you hear.
Yeah.
Sanchez, that's what they said at first. Liriano, it takes a month. Oh, we think he's going to be back in 10 days. With Travis, they didn't hear that from John Gibbons. So I think that that's a sign that the Jays are preparing for a longer absence.
Yeah. Bad news.
Yeah.
But the Jays season has been good news, bad news, good news, bad news. We've woven a little bit of cheerfulness in there. So I'm going to continue by talking about Mr. Smoke.
Yeah.
Mr. Smoke. Whoa. Thoughts, my friend?
Yeah.
My only thought is I sent him a text that changed the leaders last night. And Smoke is leading in almost all offensive categories.
He sure is. Well, I think the major thing is that there were a bunch of people that absolutely panned Toronto's decision to bring him back. I just read an article from Jonah Carey today. Basically, the headline... I was wrong. And it is not just him. It's a lot of people that thought that this signing, this extension was a mistake, but now he's turning out to be one of the best deals in baseball, $4 million.
Yeah, it's actually, it's pretty crazy.
17 home runs?
Yeah. I would definitely count myself in the group of people who did not expect this from Justin Smoke. I suspect that's a pretty big group.
Yeah.
But yeah, to see 17 homers from him, last time I checked, I think it's still the case that there's only one player who has more home runs,
yeah,
than Aaron Judge. So it's kind of crazy that Justin Smoke.
Okay, company.
Yeah, yeah. And we're not at the point in the season, too, where it's like the third week of April or something. This is, you know, we're into June now.
Yeah.
So it's sustained. You know, is it going to continue beyond this? I don't think anybody knows. But I think we can concretely say that he's hit 17 baseballs over the wall. And he's striking out way less. And that's great if you're the Jays. That's really great.
It's kind of interesting. I was having this conversation at work today with someone, and we're trying to figure out Smoke, like, what's changed? Okay, now he's had 3,000-plus major league at-bats. Okay, maybe that's it. He's striking out less, as you mentioned, but sometimes when you're striking out, you're seeing at least 3 pitches. So you could actually be seeing more pitch. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just, it's one of those things where, you know, he's always had that long ball, but he's been like Mr. Warning Track. Not quite that pop to get over. So kind of what's been going on over at Sportsnet when everyone tries to figure this out?
I
heated debates in the lunchroom.
Yeah, I'm awaiting the answers, honestly. Like, I think that it's a big surprise. When you look at Justin Smoke, you know, you see a guy who's standing there at 6'5 and 200 however many pounds. Like, you can tell, like, this is a guy who has some power, but that's not uncommon in a Major League Baseball roster. There are a lot of guys who are really huge, and not a lot of them
similar to your stature.
Well,
just
not
strong,
similar at all.
Strong, yeah. Meat eaters.
But, you know, right. You see guys like even a Jared Saltalamacchia, right? So he's someone who's probably the same height and weight as Smoke, switch hitter as well, and he can launch balls in batting practice, but it's so hard to convert that into game power. And so that's what Smoke's running up against for so much of his career, where he has the stature, he has all kinds of pedigree, and yet the home runs that leave the park in batting practice end up on the warning track or end up being strikeouts in the game.
We saw a bit of a defensive faux pas a few times. And was it the last game? 2 games ago in Oakland?
It's been a couple of games. Couple too many.
I'm specifically talking about a few, and don't get me wrong, listen, when I criticize MLB players, it's not something I'm like sitting here being like, well, I could probably do it. It's a tough play, but you have a certain level of expectation when you look at a major leaguer that they're going to make a difficult play because that's what they get paid a little bit more than the average person to do. However, you see people kind of ragging on Ezekiel Carrera, Chris Coughlin a little bit of problems there in left field, huh?
Yeah, definitely, and I think defensively it stands out, especially of late. It's been pretty tough out there. It's tough because you're asking these guys to play, I'm not going to say out of position because it is their position, but you're asking them to take on a role that you wouldn't ideally ask. I mean, in the Jays' plan A, they would have had Steve Pearce out there taking a lot of those reps. And then when Carrera goes out there, he's a guy who is fresher and he's able to really contribute for 3-4 games at a time. So I think that that's the that's kind of what they're running up against with all these injuries, and this is one of those trickle-down effects. But, yeah, I mean, I will go out on a limb and say the Gold Glove winner for the American League will not come from the Toronto Blue Jays in left field this year.
Even Tulo making an error, Goins making an error, just like it's contagious almost.
Yeah.
I mean, well, things happen, obviously. I'm not being like you have to be perfect every single time you hit the field, but.
Yeah, and it's tough when you have those misplays come together at one time. I think that the nice thing with a guy like Goins in particular is you end up with a legitimately good defender. And again, going back to the idea of things we were wrong about, going into the season, I thought that Melvin Upton's bat against left-handed pitchers would be the better choice for the Jays with that, you know, last bench spot on the roster. And I thought that was the way for them to go. They went with Goins. I thought that was a mistake. It's actually proven to be a great call for them. So he's really paid off.
I'm just trying to remember the people that when we were doing the pitch talks before the season, we were just talking about this. Everyone just wanted to talk about Jose Bautista. They wanted to talk about Edwin Encarnacion coming back. Steve Pierce was someone that was in the rumor mill to join the Jays, and everyone hated the idea. And now you're looking at this guy, you're like, please come back.
Right.
We need you.
Yeah, starting a rehab assignment tonight, so that's good news for the Jays. But that's one of the things with this team, is just they've been stretched so thin to the point that, I mean, to call up Anthony Walford and Dwight Smith Jr. in back-to-back days, I don't think that's something that anyone would have guessed for this team to do in May.
Anthony Alford, man, that's so terrible.
Yeah, at least he got that first hit out of the way first, so that's good. He's got a big
league
hit.
Broke his wrist.
Yeah, yeah, hey, he's on the big league DL. He's making big league money, getting service time. I mean, there are worse places to be, but no, I mean, bottom line, it is a big blow for Anthony Alford.
Getting top-notch physio.
Yeah, let's hope so. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, the Jays have gone, since their terrible start, 2-11, 1-9 at one point. They've been pretty good since then, 7 games over 500. However, there's the baseball season split into like 3, right? Let's get our growing pains out of the way. Let's see what we got. And then let's either make a push for the playoffs or throw in the towel and maybe be sellers. So July 31st is still a little bit of ways away, but I didn't think June 8th would come up this fast.
Yeah.
So it's not that far away. What do you think? What's your inclination of where the Jays are going to be based on their schedule? I think they don't play a team over 500 for the next week and a half or so, but then they run into a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. So they got to make up some ground against Seattle, against the White Sox, against the Rays. That's a great chance for them to actually gain some ground. I think they want to be buyers. I don't think that that's a unanimously held opinion among fans or among the media even. I think there's some people who are a little suspicious that they might actually prefer to go on a rebuild. I think they want to win. I think they value every single season and realize that you don't get that many chances to go for it. So I truly believe that they want to win. That being said, they haven't done enough of that to this point in the season. So they need to actually start making those gains in the standings. If they do, if they're a couple games above 500 in July, maybe we're talking about a left fielder. Bullpen help could obviously be needed the way things are going, the way they're using those guys, even the rotation. But I think their ideal would be to be a buyer.
Just as a sidebar, when Liriano was about to come back, there was some talk, I don't know how serious it was, about him potentially going into the bullpen. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you go with the hot hand. I think that that's it would be a tough call because Liriano's in a walk here, and the Jays would be they want to do right by their players. They don't want to bury a guy in the bullpen when it's going to have an impact on his career. So I think that in that sense, the easy move is to put Biagini in the bullpen and to keep Liriano in there. But I think you've got to at least consider if Liriano is struggling and Biagini shows. I mean, he starts tomorrow. If he goes out there and really pitches well, at a certain point, you've got to go with the best guy.
Yeah.
But I my guess is they keep Liriano in, Biagini back in the bullpen, and go from there.
How many people here would... how many people here go to a couple Jays games every year? Yeah? Can I get a round of applause? I just like a little lively, a little something. There we go. Great. How many people would be pissed off and maybe not really want to be at the Rogers Center if the Jays became sellers? Okay, so just one. Because I know some people just get real emotional with those decisions, like, oh, you're giving up, you're throwing in the towel on the season. We don't want to support that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and this is a team, too, that leads the American League in attendance. I mean, the fans have been so good. And even, you know, you see the, by extension, you see events like this. You see people just want to talk Blue Jays, even for a team that hasn't been above 500 all year. You know, like, this is, it's great. I mean, it's awesome for baseball people like everyone in this room. Yeah. But, yeah, it's... They've got some work to do.
Well, you said it. People want to talk baseball. So this is Pitch Talks, which means we really want to hear from you guys. So I want to open things up to a Q&A. You can ask Ben anything you want. Anything. Oh, great. Go ahead. What's your name?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You sound like this old journalist that I know from Edmonton who's just, he's a Hall of Fame writer. Yeah. I won't say his name, but he just honestly could care less. He literally just, he sits in a chair during scrums and he goes, Brett Laurie.
Amazing.
And the coach is looking at him like, yeah, I guess you're putting some time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, definitely most concise question of the night, I think, unless someone can do a one-worder. Yeah, I think that, I mean, for the Jays, I don't think so. But he, it's funny because he was a big leaguer last year. Like, he's, you look at some of the guys who are being called up to, you know, like, yeah, the Padres have a guy called Franchi something. Like, I don't know. There's just, there are a lot of players in Major League Baseball, a lot of roster spots that need to be filled. I'm surprised that Laurie isn't on a big league roster.
Do you know why?
No, I honestly have no inside
scoop. What are the streets saying?
I don't know. The last I saw of him, he was selling ketchup chips. So, I mean, that's, yeah. That's, yeah.
I thought he was in Toronto.
Yeah, go ahead. What's your name?
Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Heard any talk about this? What do you think the chances of that actually happening would be?
I personally haven't heard any talk about that. Interesting idea. I think that, like, I think in, at the end of the season, it's easier to push that than in the middle of a season. So if the Jays in September, and I haven't looked at their schedule as far as off days, but if they had enough off days in September and they're in a push, and say Liriano is still struggling, I think that's the right move at that point. I just think it's tough to do in June or July because it's just such a long season. But I think in September I like that idea. I think that could actually work pretty well.
In terms of bullpen help, instead of sort of being the buying selling option, what do you think about like looking towards the minor leagues? Because you look at the success of young pitchers like Urias on the Dodgers or Berrios on the Twins. Looking at guys for us in the minors like Sean Reed Foley or Connor Green, what do you think about the chances of them actually coming up at some point?
I think that if Alex Anthopoulos was still the GM, the chances might be a little higher. Just because we saw him, you know, with Castro and Asuna, we saw him do that a couple of springs ago, and it ended up working well in Asuna's case, and Tulo's here in part because of Castro, so that worked out pretty nicely. I just, you know, with the way that the Jays approach player development now, I think they're much more cautious. I think they want to see these guys fulfill their potential. They want to make sure that they're taking that long view. So I don't see it happening, even though, you know, Connor Green throws 101. You're not going to find a guy in the trade market who can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. Grilly throws 94. You don't need 101. Come on. Yes, back there, all black, everything. What's your name?
John.
Just
you made a statement.
Sorry,
you made a statement. You said something like you believe that they are committed to winning. I'm not going to sell it. So clarify who you mean by they.
Okay.
So, I mean, for me, I'm one of those skeptical fans that says, you know, they put their numbers out every year. They say, well, we've sold this amount of tickets and things. And listen, one team wins at the end of the year. Everybody knows that. But at the end of the day, as a fan, you know, you want your team to win.
Yep.
So do you feel that it's they, in terms of ownership or management, the players all want to win, but they also understand that one team wins.
Yeah.
You know, let's not fool ourselves, right? I mean, it's there's 30 teams in the league. 29 are going to be sacked.
Yeah.
No, that's so what do you think is they? I mean, I want to know.
That's a great question. It's definitely not ownership because I don't personally know ownership. You know, it's more of an abstract concept. To me, what I mean is Shapiro and Atkins because, and again, I'm not going to try to overstate the kind of interactions that I would have with them or the kind of insight that I would have into who they are and what they want. But from what I can tell, they're truly competitive people who actually want to win and realize that this club is pretty decent, if flawed. I mean, we can all see the flaws. So I think that they would want to push it to the point that they can make this happen. And then if it doesn't happen, I think they would also be quick to turn and trade guys. But I think that the ideal for the next 6 weeks is to win. Does that make sense with what?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it a satisfactory answer, John? I can see the skepticism beaming down on us like lasers.
Yeah.
6 weeks is great, but I mean, you know, as a fan, I want to win.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I understand from a business standpoint, I'm a little worried that they just see the dollars in terms of, yeah, we've sold this amount of tickets because the last couple of years have been great. You know, we've changed our logo back to blue and white, et cetera. You know, we've got all the fans in. So it's a situation where, you know, who is they? I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't want to try to speak for them, whoever they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just wondering from your perspective.
Yeah,
what?
I think their plan A is win right now, but I think at the same time, if they're out of it, the standings are not in their favor July 31st, they'll definitely sell.
And I can kind of vouch for what you said about Shapiro being competitive, because he was at our pitch talks, and people... So was anyone at the pitch talks with Shapiro and Tim Raines? So do you remember that drunk guy at the front who's like, why does your team suck? And blah. And Shapiro just called him out. He's like, do you even know what you're talking about? Kind of got defensive of his guys. And people in ownership and management, they don't need to do that. That's the coach's job. Their job is to kind of be political about things. So he came to the defense of a lot of his players, and I don't think he was afraid to admit the fact that they do want to win, but as you said, they're not going to have pipe dreams about it. They're realistic because they're really smart guys.
Right. Yeah, and if the standings say that they're 5 games under, they have to sell. But I think that they're still like optimistic enough. And the other thing is, the format that Major League Baseball has right now is perfect for a team that's kind of middling like this. So it allows everyone to have a prayer, whether you're the Cardinals who are slumping or the Jays or even the Mets or Giants, all these teams that should be better than they are, they can all kind of dream still.
Yes. Go ahead. Name?
Mike.
Hi, Mike.
You might have already just mentioned this just now, but given the new management, do you think this team's window closes on the other side of Donaldson, or this is just a constant retool around Sanchez-Stroman, trying to middle it out into a backdoor into the wild card every year, or a complete retool or rebuild with management's new management's vision in place?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think that Donaldson, as you know, maybe probably everyone in the audience does, but he's a free agent after 18, so they have a year and a half more of him. So I think that's a real moment for the Jays. They have to decide, can they try to win with him or not? I think they try to win next year, regardless of what happens this year, because you still have Stroman, Sanchez, Asuna, Pilar, might have included Travis in that. Maybe we have...
Let's do it anyway.
Yeah,
Travis,
I mean, yeah.
Definitively.
You probably aren't going to count on him for quite as much. Smoke, it's... Yeah, when you got a 40 home run man like Justin Smoke on your roster. So, seriously, I mean, there are a lot of good reasons to look ahead at this team in 18 as a pretty good club. I think after that, you've got to think long and hard about what you're doing. At the same time, I cannot envision this team doing a Cubs or Astros rebuild. I just think that... I just can't see it happening. I really can't. I think Yankees-style rebuild or Red Sox, where they do it on the fly, sure, that's what big market teams should do, and the Jays, of course, are a big market team, but I can't see them bottoming them out completely. Right. Yeah, they spend kind of like a mid-market team, really. Top 10, something like that.
Yeah, I think they're ninth.
Ninth, yeah. So.
I just wanted to point out something, Ben. You said, really good question, great question, and then like I asked you about 18 questions, and I got no love.
Yours were great questions, too. Yeah.
I'm going to take it, even though it was four. It's under duress.
There we go.
Did you have a question back there, sir? I thought I saw your hand earlier.
Yeah, I was going to follow up.
No, you go first. We'll go Ben, and then you and the lovely cap.
Yeah, I was going to follow up on the point about the 18 rebuild, retool. Like with Vladdy Jr., Bichette, those guys like tearing it up this year. That's their timeline in that era, in that time frame, I think, 1920. So I think that competitive window could potentially stay open then. And you still have control on Sanchez and Osuna and those guys, right? So, I mean, I just wondering your thoughts if that makes sense and what position they would end up playing.
Yeah, no, I think so for sure. I think Bichette, position-wise, is a question mark. I mean, ideally, I'm sure they'd want him at shortstop. I don't know if that's going to happen. Vladdy Jr., same thing. I mean, is he going to be a third baseman? The bat plays anywhere, so you're probably fine offensively there, even if he's a 20-year-old DH, you know, or he becomes a Miguel Sano type and he's kind of positionless, but you're happy because he hits. You know, at the same time, I was looking at Travis Snyder's baseball reference page today, and not to be too negative or anything, but it's just, you know, these, you can't put timelines on these guys either. As much as you'd love to say that they could be here in 2019, and it's possible, it's definitely possible, but it's hard to pin down too.
Sorry, yeah,
I'm not sure if it was asked, but with Biagini pitching so well, can you see a six-man rotation? With Liriano, he's a lefty, he can come out and pitch any time, but you can't put Biagini back to the bullpen, I don't think.
He's been really good, yeah. He's been good.
Yeah.
So the topic came up not that long ago. I want to say it was last week. And Gibbons said that it's not something they talked about. So I don't think it's going to be a short term. I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon. I do think that the way we see pitching staffs used is changing so quickly that I could see them doing it. You know, if they're in a stretch of, sometimes you see teams go through, they play 25 games in 26 days, something like that. If they were to go through that in August, for example, and most teams usually have a stretch like that toward the end of the year, then maybe they have to do that for a couple rounds. I don't think it would be a full-time for the rest of the season type of thing, but I could see them doing it for a couple turns.
My name is Leo. So my question is on Dalton Pompey. So the Blue Jays have issues in left field right now. But Dalton came back from concussion, played half a game in Buffalo, and got hurt with some leg injury again. Where is he in the organization? How do people see him?
Yeah, I think that the injury questions surrounding him have really, I mean, stating the obvious, it slowed his momentum. He's someone that they probably would have gone to. They definitely would have gone to him as opposed to Alford or Dwight Smith Jr. That's the spot probably where they would have gone to him. Yeah, as for his current status, I don't know. I would, if anyone here has insight, I'm very interested to know. the last I heard, he left the game with, I believe, I'm not sure, I think it was a knee injury. Yeah, Jamie's tapping his knee. This is a good sign. yeah, so it was a knee injury. I don't know the severity of it. He hasn't played since. I heard he came back to Toronto to get an MRI. I'm not sure what's going on there. But yeah, it's been a tough go for Pompey. And this is the perfect time to use him too, because they have such a need for position players.
A girlfriend of mine on my football team, she was complaining because her kids love baseball. And one of the oldest one keeps changing between his favorite players. And last year, his favorite player for a stretch of like 2 months was Dalton Pompey. And she had never been more disappointed in her kid. I felt like she... How unfair is that? Does he get a bad rap?
Yeah, it's tough with these guys who end up on the DL a few times. And I always think that the injury-prone label is unfair to guys. And just as... You can't go the other way either. You can't say, hey, Josh Donaldson, you know, he's a guaranteed 160 games a year guy, because they are until they aren't. And same with injuries. I mean, you're injury prone until you're not, and you play a full season and you're fine.
Even still, it kind of stays with you, I feel like, when you're injury prone. It's just always something everyone's always going to talk about.
Yeah, and I would say it's a little unfair, but you definitely hear it.
Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. If the Jays do become sellers, who do you think that they'll be offloading? I've heard Tulo, but then again, he's pretty expensive, tied up in a big contract. And in terms of what the Jays would want to get back, do you think they're trying to restock pitching in this case? And does that change whether or not you try and keep Donaldson?
Yeah, so another great question. It
was about who the Jays might sell if they do sell. So I think that the guys that they would sell would be Estrada. I think he would be the top guy. I believe in him as a top type of pitcher, and I think a lot of teams would view him in that same way. So I think Estrada would be top of the list. Beyond that, you'd be looking at Liriano if someone wanted him, and teams are so stretched for pitching that I do think that he would have a little bit of value. Bullpen, that's a little trickier, because if Grilly and Howell were having good years, they'd be that type of guy. Maybe Joe Smith could be someone. I mean, teams would definitely, I mean, he's having a great year. I could see Joe Smith being someone that they would trade. So I think when you look at the deadline, the big moves usually revolve around pitching, because every contender needs pitching. Not every contender needs a third baseman or a shortstop. So I think that it would be pitchers with a focus on Estrada, Smith, and Liriano. And as for what the Jays would look back, I mean, or would look for in return, you know, this is going to sound a lot like Shapiro speak or Atkins speak, but I think that what they would say and what they would mean is that they would look for the best talent available. They would try to max out on upside. They would try to get prospects who are close to the big league level and see what they can do. But I don't think they would say, we have to get a left-handed pitcher at all costs. I think they would stay flexible.
A while ago on Twitter, I read an article. I don't remember who it was, so I don't want to name drop and assume. But there was something around the idea of, like, barring a collapse, if they became sellers, there was this idea about the Jays and the Nats talking about a deal revolving around Osuna. I don't know if you ever saw that, but I support your claim earlier about saying, like, you know, they have the talent to compete next year still. But if that were to happen with Osuna, like, what do you think the return, or even the idea of it, like, what do you think about that?
I think it would have to be a big return for Osuna, because so he debuted in 15, right? So 15, 16, 17. So they have him for three more years. So if you're trading someone who has 3.5 years of control, you've got to get something really good back. And I mean, not just the extra piece. Osuna's proven. He's someone who can help you win. So to me, you'd have to get an impact guy, probably someone close to the big leagues. And yet the Nationals aren't in a position where they can trade someone off their big league roster. So it's not like you're getting Trey Turner back. You have to get, so I'm thinking whoever their upper level prospect is, someone in that kind of sweet spot.
Question. Quiet crowd? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering what you've heard about Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Because at the beginning of the year, they said this guy might be ready. He's 23, might be ready for the majors from a hitting standpoint. But he's played one game at Dunedin. He's had some injury issues. But like, what are you hearing about his progression and where he could be?
Yeah, so it's hamstring that he's been battling. And every time that I've heard someone in the organization talk about him, it's like, oh, we think he's going to be back soon. And then, like you said, he really hasn't played in a lot of games. So Gurriel is the kind of guy to me that would be so perfect, or would have been so perfect, on the roster to this point in the year, because they've been backfilling, they've been getting all these different guys at different positions. Gurriel, if this were to happen this time next year, maybe he can do that. He can play the corner outfield, second base, third base, bounce around a little bit. I know the thinking was that he would play shortstop for them. So he's obviously got enough arm and range to be trusted at that position. I think you need a guy like this. You look around at Cubs, and they have Baez and Zobrist, and you look at the Astros, they have Marwin Gonzalez. Dodgers have Chris Taylor floating around. I mean, you've got to have a guy like that who can sub in, because inevitably you're going to have these injuries, and I think the Jays have been exposed a little bit in that way this year.
Ben, thank you so much for your insights.
Thanks everyone
for
here.
Your compliments to our audience.
Yeah.
Very, very good stuff, as always. We are going to take a short Pitch Talks break to go to the washroom if you need to get a drink if you need to go outside and get some fresh air, and then we will come back with the second portion of our show. Okay? Thanks so much, guys.